I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, great to be back now with the Reverend Vernon K. Walker, a political activist and, of course, a climate advocate and all-around good guy. Reverend Walker, welcome back to MSO.
Good morning, Rick. It's so delightful to be with you in the new year, 2022.
Well, we've turned the page, and we've survived the last year and a half or so, and things, although they're a little dicey right now, it seems like we're on the right path. And speaking of that, I want to, first of all, congratulate you for your work on the Boston mayoral campaign. I know that you must be very excited, very pleased about Michelle Wu, who you strongly supported, as becoming the next mayor.
Oh, yeah, we're glad about it. And I was representing the Sierra Club, and we all helped, and we're glad. We're elephant happy and peacock proud that she is that there's a new mayoral administration. She's been in office for a couple months now, and we're just really excited about the potentiality of serious change and the potential of real long-lasting change and dreaming of what's possible. And no longer just dreaming of what's possible, but putting in steps in place to help the dream come to reality, the dream of equality, the dream of fairness, and the dream of everyone in the city having access to clean air, clean water, and safe and living in a safe and healthy community.
And yeah, and looking forward to continuing that into the future, of course. Excuse me. Recently, there was a worldwide conference on climate. There have been national conferences and, of course, local ones. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you back in the fall, but you were a speaker at a conference, I believe, on November 11. Will you tell us a little bit about that and a lot of information? I'm sure disseminated at that meeting.
I think that was the one about how can Massachusetts lead on climate.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an event with Bill McKibbins. State Representative Nick Algardo was the facilitator. U.S. Senator Ed Markey also spoke. And Cavill Eames, the political director from 350 Mass, was also a speaker. And I had a chance to join them and to really talk about how Massachusetts can lead on climate, how we can be more ambitious in reaching the goals in the legislation that related to climate justice. The roadmap for the roadmap bill. So that was a very delightful event. The video I have. And what I can do, Rick, is I can, if anyone is curious, I can send you the video, and then maybe we can make it available to the audience. Where it was on YouTube, it was a virtual event.
Mm-hmm.
About 650 people, I saw, in the numbers in the Zoom box. It was a very delightful event.
Yeah, please send me that video. I'll be glad to put it up with this interview, so that we can take a look at it, of course. And I have to ask you, what is 350 Mass or 350.org? What is it?
350 Mass is an organization that focuses on climate mitigation, that focuses on a range of different things in regards to pushing for a Green New Deal. And 350 Mass is a part of several different coalitions. They have a website, 350ma.org. Please feel free to check it out. But there are a group of activists who are interested in helping Massachusetts and society overall, but Massachusetts, starting here in the state, transition off coal, fossil fuel, and gas into more cleaner energy. So they do a lot of lobbying. They do a lot of on the ground activities, and they also have lots of partnerships with various organizations and environmental justice communities, and also organizations not in the environmental justice community. And they're doing extraordinary work. So they're focused on trying to stop the climate crisis from getting worse. So that's really known as the mitigation approach. And there are several organizations within that frame that do similar work you know, Sierra mm-hmm. Club, Environmental League Massachusetts, Chelsea Green Roots, et cetera, et cetera. Where these are organizations that has part of their focus slowing down the climate crisis.
Mm-hmm. All right. So in terms of local action here, with your involvement with communities responding to extreme weather crew, and your involvement here, you know, with activism, political activism, advocating for so many people, what's happening locally, Reverend Walker, in terms of either beginning to change things in the area, looking at things, studying things? What's going on?
Yeah, well, the communities responding to extreme weather is engaged in a really robust project working with several Tufts faculty members, Tufts University faculty member, and also working in conjunction with Tufts students and Boston University students, looking at the social connectedness of areas in Boston such as Chinatown and Roxbury. So we are engaged in understanding social connectedness. And really, it's a project being funded by CREW, by Tufts. And it's the name of the project is Extreme Weather and Social Connectedness. So we're engaging with community members. We will be engaging with community members that live in the Chinatown and the Grove Hall area of Roxbury to understand how do people conceptualize social connectivity. So we have surveys for people to fill out. We'll be conducting interviews because we realize that social connectedness is a significant characteristic of a climate resilient community. And we're hoping that with our research, we will be able to spotlight how important social connectivity is, particularly when we talk about heat waves, the increased heat waves that we are experiencing, the more floods, the stronger winter storms, the snowstorms. So we know that these extreme weather events will become more deadly and disastrous and more frequent. And we understand that when neighbors are connected with neighbors, it can help. It can improve the chances of people surviving these catastrophic weather events. So we're really excited about that. We will be doing an event at the Museum of Science when we're done all our research and compiling the research and analyzing the data. We will have a big event in person, if it's not too bad COVID-wise. We'll have an event between September and October at the Museum of Science mm-hmm. unveiling our results from our research. And more information will be coming in regards to dates and times and things of that nature. And we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to seeing what the research will tell us about how people understand social connectedness in their community.
I'm looking forward to how that plays out and talking with you about it. And I have to ask you sort of an off-the-wall question that crossed my mind as you were talking about extreme weather. And mm-hmm. we didn't talk about this on our agenda, so if you don't want to talk about it, that's great. But I was in Philadelphia recently, and the difficulty of homelessness in a big city mm-hmm. is just, it's gut-wrenching. You can't help everyone as an individual person. Then you combine that with the weather changes, and it just makes the problem so much worse. And I'm sure in Boston there are similar problems like that with any big city. Is there a program? I know Michelle Wu is working, what is it, Mass and Cass? She's dealing with that today, mm-hmm. I believe. So can you give me a little connection on that and maybe what we're looking at in the future in terms of trying to combat homelessness?
Well, I think they're exploring opening the Long Shelter. Mayor Wu and her administration are exploring the idea of opening the Long Bridge Shelter that was closed several years ago. I think they also are looking at putting people in some of the buildings that are unoccupied around Molina Cass and Mass Ave.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, I used to work with the homeless population for several years as a case manager at the Boston Rescue Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And also I worked for a bit for Pine Street Inn, again, several years ago. And I could see how the effect of the holistic effect that homelessness has on an individual can be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my responsibilities when I was a case manager, particularly at the Boston Rescue Mission, was to help people find resources, whether literary resources, monetary resources, educational resources, to be able to help them get off their feet. And oftentimes I used to have folks come in my office, and this is where they're at the low point of their lives, and we would develop a plan on how they can apply for subsidized housing. We would develop a plan on how they can put together a resume. I would help folks put together a resume. And I also was actually pretty fortunate to start a Bible study at the Boston Rescue Mission for my time there. And we would have Bible study because it is a Christian-driven organization, the Boston Rescue Mission, which is still in downtown Boston. So pretty much every Friday night for my time there, I was there for about a year and a half. We would have robust Bible studies, and we wanted just to be able to be spiritual encouragement to people who were at their low points in lives. And not everyone identified with faith that would stay at the shelter there.
Mm-hmm.
But for those on my caseload who were, we would delve into the scriptures on Friday nights. It's an intersection between climate and homelessness, because there's something known as climate migration.
Mm-hmm.
So as the extreme weather is becoming more intense, we are now seeing people become climate refugees, if you will. They have to leave their neighborhood, like a lot of people had to leave New Orleans, when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans and really devastated and ravaged the 7th Ward. A lot of folks couldn't go back to their homes because their homes were no longer in place. And unfortunately, some folks didn't have home insurance. So we know that even when we look at Hurricane Dorian that hit the Bahamas in September 2019, we know that as these things become more frequent, more and more people are unfortunately going to become climate refugees. And we know that this is happening and it's going to continue to happen. Although folks who find themselves in a cycle of homelessness, oftentimes it really boils down to individual choices. So I'm really glad that the mayor is taking steps to try to address homelessness, because homelessness never exists in a vacuum. It oftentimes overlaps with mental health and drug addiction. So oftentimes these morbidities, these situations are coexisting, and you can't address one without the other. And to holistically address the situation, I think, is a good approach. And it seems like, from what I understand, the mayor of Boston is working with the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless Group, to also with Boston Medical Center. To get the folks who are on the streets at Molina Cass and Mass Ave, you know, into stable housing, and to really get them the help they need so they can get back on their feet.
Wow. Well, thank you for all of that. And some of this stuff seems overwhelming, but I think I read somewhere sometime long ago that problems made by people can also be fixed by people. So we have good people like yourself working on it, and I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us today. Reverend Walker, is there anything else that you might want to mention today?
No, not at this juncture. I want all listeners to just stay safe and remember to wear masks when you are out in public, and take the precautions necessary, needed in order to stay safe, stay healthy. We'll look forward to being in conversation again, Rick.
All right, that is the Reverend Vernon K. Walker with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore.
Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaston, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.